Well, thank you. I answer to a number of different things, some more kind than others. It's been such a thrill to come back and be with you again, and happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Happy very first day of September. Where in the world did 2019 go? Man alive, it just kind of flies away, the unofficial ending of summer. Well, we're not quite there yet officially, but we're slowly working our way there. Well, the title of my message today is The God of Invitation, and it's based upon Psalm 95. Now, Psalm 95 is a part of the collection of psalms called the Enthronement Psalms. I actually preached about one of those enthronement psalms to you the very first time that I was with you, like, I don't know how many years ago, it was two or three at least. It's been a while. We've had a little bit of a thing going on, haven't we? But that was the only enthronement psalm I ever talked about with you. And I thought, well, it's time to roll out another enthronement psalm. And it's very, very appropriate for this particular weekend, because at the end of this psalm, if we find ourselves coming into right relationship with God, doing what he wants us to do, we end up coming into his rest, you know, and a ceasing of our labors. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good word for today. And you might remember from all those years ago, or maybe not, the enthronement psalms were composed after the Babylonian conquest, when Israel was in captivity. They were allowed to return back to the temple in Jerusalem, and the enthronement psalms were written specifically for the worship service at the beginning of the service to literally welcome God into the worship service. And this particular psalm, Psalm 95, is interesting in that while by using this psalm in the worship service, we are welcoming God to be enthroned on his throne and to come into this place, he is also giving us invitations in return. So today we're going to take a look at three invitations that God gives to us in Psalm 95. So let's start with a question, since these enthronement psalms are a means by which we welcome God into our presence. Here's an interesting question. How do you think we would react, I mean really react, if we suddenly found ourselves in the real presence of Almighty God, the creator of all that there is? How do you think we would react? Do you think we would maybe cheer? Hooray, it's God. No, I agree with you. No, it doesn't sound real right. Or do you think we would clap our hands? Hey, God's in the house. Ooh. That doesn't sound right either, does it? Do you think we would maybe try to start up a friendly conversation with him as if God was just a good friend? Put your arm around God. Hey, that doesn't sound right either, does it? No, probably not. Do you think maybe we might even offer up a complaint? Why did you let this happen? Well, we kind of do that sometimes in our prayers, don't we? What if God was really here, like a Job moment? Job was kind of getting into God's face a little bit. Do you think that's how we would react? Well, would you like to know how some of the people in the Bible reacted when they came into God's presence? In the Bible, we have some rather interesting examples of that, how they reacted when they came into God's presence. Moses, for example, had to take off his sandals. In fact, he was commanded to take off his sandals because the ground where God was present was holy. Okay? So, and Isaiah, when Isaiah came into God's presence, which we read in Isaiah 6, what was his first reaction? Woe is me! Woe unto me! He's in the presence of God, and he started to confess his sins to God. I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, God knows full well how we would really react if we were to come into his presence, and yet God invites us anyway to come into his presence. He wants us to be with him. He wants you to be in his presence. Well, in the case of Psalm 95, we receive this invitation corporately as well as individuals. God wants us to come together as a family and to come into his presence. So we take a look, Psalm 95, starting verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So the first invitation that we get from God in this psalm is for us to come. We are supposed to come into a place such as this corporately and to make a joyful noise unto him. God invites us to come and meet him. However, meeting God isn't like meeting just another person, like your neighbor or like a person on the street. God is someone who has the highest esteem and value. So when we meet God, we should praise him. He's not just your good buddy. He's the almighty sovereign God who created you in his own image. Well, in those first two verses, we're told how we should praise him, making a joyful noise with thanksgiving and praise. That's one of the things that I really love about coming here and spending time worshiping with you. And my wife, Mary, loves it as well because you people know how to worship God in a biblical way. And God bless you for that. It's a wonderful thing how you come into the house of the Lord and you truly make a joyful noise unto him. So that blesses me to experience that with you. So thank you for that. You made my morning. Thank you for that. So we also praise him by giving thanks and by extolling him with music and with song. It should literally be a festival of praise. Well, if those first two verses tell us how we should praise God, the next couple of verses in this psalm tells us why. Why should we do this? Why should we praise him? Pick up the text again, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he has made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Because God is almighty and sovereign and all-loving and all-powerful, we praise him for those reasons because he is worthy of it. He is worthy of our praise. We should come and praise God because he's unique. He's like no other, and he's created everything. In fact, he's created you. So we should praise him corporately, not just individually, but to come together as part of God's family since we are children of the one who has created us. Now, I know of quite a number of people who've told me over the course of time that they do their worshiping when they're alone, when they're out in God's nature, for example. I usually hear this from hunters and fishermen, usually. Their rationale is that they feel closer to God when they're outside. They feel closer to God than when they're actually with other people. Now, to be honest and fair, I can actually understand their position. I can. I really can. Because I also feel really close to God when I'm outdoors. I love walking on trails. And when I take the time to realize just who it is who made the outdoors and consider the greatness of God's creation, it becomes easy to keep in mind who God is and who I am in relationship to God. God is God and I am not. However, the psalmist's idea for gathering together corporately is not an idea that people came up with. It's not a person that came up with the idea that we should all gather together. This was God's idea. God came up with that idea. In fact, these opening verses in this psalm are compelling reasons why we should come together in a corporate manner. And just as Hebrews chapter 10, 25 tells us to not give up meeting together, Psalm 95 devotes us to meeting together. And that's why it's important to not be a church shopper. You know what a church shopper is, right? And try this one week, try this one another week, this place, another week, that place. And they never land anywhere. They just are looking around and looking around. Now, let me be clear about this too. It's okay on one hand to honestly look for a church that is a good fit for you. That is good. If you're really looking for something that does fit with where you're at in your walk with the Lord, that's okay. But just try to land somewhere. On the other hand, it's not a good idea to just go from church to church to church to church and then never find one that you can attend regularly. That's probably indicating that you might need to take a little bit harder look at yourself than you are at the church. Well, for example, here's a little story. Some of you may have even heard it. I might have even told it to you. But the story goes of a man who was marooned on an island for a number of years. And one day he saw a ship come over the horizon to rescue him, and he thought, I'm saved. And then he began to get things ready to leave the island. And then when the captain came ashore, the man said, I'm ready. Let's go. But the captain said to him, now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. It's just you on this island, right? I mean, there isn't anyone else here, right? And the man said, no, I'm the only one here. Well, the captain continued saying, I see you have four huts here, and yet it's just you. Can you tell me what those four huts are for? And the man said, sure. He said, the first hut is where I sleep, and the second hut is where I eat, and the third hut is where I go to church. And the captain said, okay, I see, but what about the fourth hut? Oh, that's where I used to go to church. Now, does that sound silly? That sounds silly, doesn't it? Now, if you're a person who's going to church, to church, to church, to church, do you think it sounds any less silly? Okay, understand the point? Okay, we got to land somewhere at some point in time because we're supposed to and because God is worthy and deserving of our praise, not just individually, but also corporately. Which brings us to the second invitation in Psalm 95. This second invitation is God invites us to worship him. That's what we're invited to do. And just like in the opening verses, we're first told how to worship God, and then we're told why we should worship God. We pick up the text in verse 6. A lovely part of the passage. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Many of you guys here in particular might remember the Promise Keeper song, oh, let us come and worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for we are. Beautiful song. So a common depiction of worship in the Bible is the illustration of God's people looking to him in praise. Nothing new to you guys. You're already doing that all the time. And then bowing down in reverence. For a biblical example, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, we read this. And Ezra, this would have been the priest there at the time, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting their hands. And then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Or in Revelation chapter 4, we read about the 24 elders, or 4 and 20. And round about the thrones there were 4 and 20 seats, and upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And then jumping ahead to verse 9, and when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, this would be the Lord God, who liveth and reigneth forever and ever, the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. I so appreciate our worship leader today because we did holy, 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 casting down their golden crowns around them. We didn't coordinate that. Okay, somebody else coordinated that. Okay, and I started crying. I really did. I thought, oh, thank you, God. I was hoping I had the right message today. So thank you. I love coming here. You just bless me even when you don't know you're doing it. That was a beautiful thing. I needed that today. So when we come together before God and to worship him, and when we worship in this way by looking above him, praising him, and bowing down to him, we are worshiping him in a biblical manner. And that's what you do here every Sunday. Another example of this, do we ever see this anywhere else? In October of 1997, there were over 1 million men that were gathered. Anybody recognize that scene there? That's the National Mall. That was the Stand in the Gap Promise Keepers event. Was anybody here at that event? Anybody? Well, I was. In fact, I don't know when the helicopter was flying by. Otherwise, I'd be able to point out one of those little pointy heads there in the picture. It was me. But I'm in there somewhere, okay? I was there. And I can attest to you that what you are seeing there is truthfully representative of the number of men that were there. As the event carried on, there may have been even more than that later on, but there were not less than what you see there at the Capitol Mall. What were we doing there, do you think? Were we there to hear a rock concert? No. Were we there to hear a great speech? Not really. Do you think we were there to worship God? Amen. Oh, my goodness. We sure did. 10 years after that, in 2007, there was a 10-year anniversary celebration of that event held once again on the National Mall. And then just as before, in the first event, there was a moment where all the men, we were all called upon to bow down as low to the ground as possible and to worship God in a biblical manner. That's what that looked like back then. Those are promise keepers that were at the event. And it's really something when you have a million men that are laying down in silence at the National Mall. That moment that happened over 20 years ago now, over a million men became silent before the Lord, and it was as though we were dead men. Just imagine that. Can you just imagine this? Boom, we're down. No one's talking on the PA system. No music is playing. A million guys dead silent before the Lord. C-SPAN was covering the event. They had a media table there. And you could see that the media booth, the reporters didn't know what to do. When they're seeing, I mean, here you got the media event, and now here we have the Promise Keepers event, and they're going to lay down and be quiet? What do they do? They didn't know what to do. They didn't have a clue what was going on. What was going on that day, and what goes on here at Crossfire every week, is a prelude to that day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
Amen.
Well, the third invitation to our psalm deals with what happens after we've already accepted the invitation to come and worship the Lord. Here's what we're supposed to do. It's a wonderful invitation. We are invited to persevere. You know what we're supposed to do? We do it. Keep on doing it. Persevere in it. Pick up the text, the last half of verse 7. So today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Hearkening back to when you had the 40 days wandering in the wilderness. In that passage, God is reminding the Jewish remnant, because that's who these people were, okay? Enthronement psalm, they're in captivity. Now they're back in Jerusalem. They are the remnant that's returned. God's reminding them that what happened during those 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They were sent out into the wilderness. Why? Because the people did not persevere in their relationship with God. They kept complaining and testing him and trying him and outright disobeying him. So God invites us to persevere in our relationship with him because there's a consequence when we wander away from God. And there's also a reward when we return to God. The consequences for Israel's wandering away from God was that God had them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That's a long time. Anybody in this room who's older than 40 years old knows that 40 years is a long time to be wandering around with nothing to eat and nowhere soft to sleep, right? But what was the return for Israel returning to God? At the very end of the psalm, we read that they entered into God's rest. Happy Labor Day. Return to the Lord and get into his rest. Whenever we stop coming together for worship, and whenever we just get caught up in doing our own thing, if we honestly evaluate the state of our lives, we find that the trajectory that we were counting on really didn't improve the way that we thought it would. But whenever we come back to the Lord, whenever we worship the Lord, when we place our cares upon him, what happens as a result of that is that we too enter into his rest. It's his promise because he wants us to be with him. When we are with him, we experience the rest that only God can provide. We receive the peace that passes all human understanding as we keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus. God is literally inviting us to come back to him if we've strayed away. Look, if life is tough, and life gets tough for all of us, it's inevitable. I guess we're in the world. We're in a fallen world. But if we've been wandering and we're just not getting the rest in our life, maybe we need to wander back towards God because God promises us that that is where we find rest. So if you've never accepted Christ in your life, God's inviting you to ask Jesus to come into your life, that you can be with him and have his presence in your life, not just alongside of your life, but directly in your life. And that's true for you if you're here today. That's true for you if you're tuning in on our podcast today. God is inviting us to come into his rest and to experience the blessings that Jesus has provided for us, what we've been singing about this morning, that old rugged cross. We take for granted too many times as we get busy with our work week about just what it is that Jesus did for us and what it is that he offers us. And you don't have to read very far in the Bible to be reminded of it. I love going to Romans 6:23, which says this: "For the wages of sin is death." That's the wandering away part. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, some Bible translations have it as "through Christ Jesus our Lord." The original Koine Greek, though, has it as "in." Just a minor difference, okay? But just, you know, there's a little difference there. But the basic premise and basic point here is that the gift of God is in, with, or through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if we analyze that verse, we can examine each word individually. And believe it or not, we're going to find that entire gospel message is contained in just that one verse. Whenever I've introduced somebody to the idea of the gospel, I'll ask them, well, would you like to know what the gospel is? And they say, sure, okay, take out your Bible. We're going to start at page one. We're going to go all the way to the end. And that's usually their reaction. They'll say, you're kidding. And I say, yes, I'm kidding. You don't have to do that. One verse. And this isn't the only verse in the Bible that contains the gospel message. But this verse is wonderful. If you just take the time to think about each individual word. For example, Paul starts with the word "for." Well, that means that what Paul's going to say next is something he's not guessing about. It's something that's factual. It's true. Next word, wages. "For the wages" refers to that which we deserve. It's something that we've worked for. It's something that we've earned. It's something that we take an active part in. It's payment as the cost of something. What are your wages? Wages of sin. Next word. This is a bad word. Sin. We don't like talking about sin. As long as you don't get caught, it's okay, right? Don't apologize for doing the sin. Apologize that you got caught doing it. Okay, so says, or so acts out the modern society today. Sin, bad word. It's the thing that nobody seems to want to talk about anymore. Sin refers not only to the individual things that we do that separate us from God. Why don't we have God with us right now? Well, we've wandered away from him. We put stuff in the way of him. All the things that we want, the things we think we need that we really don't need. The things that we do over and over and over, and we're all guilty of doing it. You know, get in line, right? It separates us from God. It's a bad, bad thing. And we also have what's called a sin nature. It's kind of hardcore built into us, thanks to Adam and Eve. Thanks a bunch for that. Probably the only time in our lives that we're not sinning is when we're asleep. At last, I'm not sinning. I'm asleep. Outside of that, we're probably always in a perpetual state of sin because we're not perfect. Only one person was. Bad word, big problem. Because there's wages to sin. There's consequences to sin. Wages mean we earned it. We worked for it. Biggest mistake you make, well, the devil made me do it. No, he probably didn't. He might have given you a choice, but in the end, we did it. Death, bad word. This is the final payment for the investment that we've made by living in sin or wandering away from God. Did you know that before Adam and Eve started to sin, there was no death? Isn't that amazing? Death did not enter into humanity until we started to sin. And God said, okay, now your days are numbered. Didn't say that, but now our days are numbered. It's the final penalty. It's not just a physical death, but it also means a spiritual death, that we're spiritually separated from God for all of eternity. It's not bad enough that we're separated from God to our sinning on earth, but because we've wandered away, because we separated ourselves from God, we're separated from him forever and ever, for all of eternity. I spoke to one of my residents one time who didn't want to believe that there's a hell. I don't believe that there's a hell. I said, okay. And then I said, well, you do accept the fact, though, that in eternity, you're either with God or you're apart from God, right? And the resident said, oh, yeah. Okay, so if you're apart from God, what is there to keep anything bad happening to you for all of eternity? Sounds a little bit like hell, doesn't it? And I ended up leading that person to Christ because they wanted to be with God for all of eternity. Good choice. That's the bad news. Really bad news. I mean, good grief. That's depressing, isn't it? Not exactly a pleasant word to hear. For the wages of sin, and yes, the things I do, the what I am, who I am, and the things I do to wander away, the things I put in the way of my relationship with God leads not only to my physical death, but eternal separation from God. Great message, Pastor John. But there's an important word, most important word in my opinion that there is in the Bible. And it's a little tiny word, three letters long. It's but. However, on the other hand, which means there is a way out. There is a way past. There is another path to follow that's available to us. Well, what's this? What is this? Wouldn't you like to know how to avoid all that? You'd be amazed how many people don't really want to know. They're convinced. I'm going down rabbit trails. I apologize. I wasn't going to do that. I can't resist. I have too much fun with you. I've had so many people that they'll walk right down this path with me. Yeah, I sin. Yeah, I think. I say I do. I avoid. I put stuff in the way. I wander away. Yeah, I am okay with all of that you're saying there, Pastor John. And then when I say, but there's a way out, they're not interested in the way. You don't have to stay there. You know, they'll say, well, God could never forgive me for what I did, ever. You know, and that's not true. It's not true. However, next word, gift. Ooh, who likes to get a gift? Okay. I like getting gifts. I like them to be nice gifts, but okay. I like getting gifts. What's a gift? Do you buy your own gift? Well, sometimes, well, I'm going to reward myself. I deserve this. I'm going to buy my own gift. Well, that's not a gift. All right? That's a treat. A gift is not something that you buy. You can't earn a gift. You can't finagle a gift. You can't own it unless you possess it. For example, okay, Rick, I have this wonderful sheet of paper, so I'm going to offer this to you. Yeah. So now, do you have the gift I've given you? Why? Well, I offered it to you. So in order for you to possess the gift, what do I have to... What? You have to receive the gift, don't you? If you don't receive the gift, you don't have the gift. I don't know if anybody else needs this. I better put it back up there. Yeah, a gift is not possessed until it's been received or attained, right? That's the funny thing about gifts. You don't have the gift until you receive the gift, right? But it's not something that you pay for. It's not something that you earn. It's not something that you save up for. It's something that's owned by somebody else, and it's offered to you for free. Okay, great. Love to get a gift. Who's giving the gift? Next words, of God. Ooh. God wants to give you a gift. Wow. And it's not going to be some little blank piece of paper that God wants to give you. Right? So who is this God? God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all that there is, the creator of you and me, if you're an outdoors person, the creator of all that wonderful outdoors, the creator of the trees, the creator of the sky, the clouds, the sun, the moon, the flowers, the animals, the fish, little Bambi out there, okay? All of it. The creator wants to give you, a gift, which means it doesn't cost you anything. Nothing. God wants to give you a gift. Well, if the size of the gift is representative of the size of the giver, then think of the size of the gift that God wants to give to you. All right? So what's the next two words? Eternal life. Okay. There we have it. So we already know we're kind of earning our way away from God, partaking it. It's our wages. We've sinned. We separate ourselves. Eternal separation from God. Okay. But what's the gift of God? Gift is, no. I don't want you to have eternal separation from me. I want you to have eternal life with me. That's what he wants to give to you. He offers us to spend all of eternity with him in existence where there's no more night, no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering, no more illness, no more insecurities. All the things that we fear in life is gone. Being with our Heavenly Father. No more of anything that causes us to suffer in these lives that God's given us to live today. And this goes on for how long? A day? A week? A month? A year? How about forever and ever and ever and ever, every day, forever and ever and ever? Wow. That's better than what I got for Christmas. Wow. How do I get this? Wouldn't you like to get that gift? Something forever? Never runs out? Wow, this is better than my favorite TV show. Okay, how do I get this? A little tiny small word, in. All right, don't want to make a big deal out of it. It's just a tiny word. In Greek, it's two letters. We would call it en. It's epsilon nu. It means in. Okay? It means that's what it is. So it's the smallest word in the passage. It has the largest meaning. Why? Because in indicates the means by which God gives us the gift. I want this gift. How do I get it? That's what in refers to. Because God is the giver of the gift. He has the prerogative and the right to determine how the gift is given. I want to give you a gift. Here's how I'm giving it to you. Next two words, Christ Jesus. Okay? The reason why we don't have to buy the gift is he bought it. He bought it for us. The gift comes in the form of God's one and only Son. We can say it together, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. In the name Christ Jesus, we have what's called the duality of Christ, being fully God and fully man. Okay? His earthly identity, that being Jesus, and also his divine title, which is Christ or the Messiah. That's his identifier. This is the gift that God gives us. The gift is not just the person of God's Son, but also everything that he stood for, everything that he taught, everything that he did for you on this earth, which includes his death on the cross, paying our penalty for all of our sin in full. Wow, in full. We're out of debt thanks to what Jesus did for us on the cross, paying the price for our sin. Our wages that we earned fell onto Jesus, and he took our punishment, and he did it willingly. You don't pay him. He just did it for you. Wow, what a gift. So is that it? No, that's not it. Last two words, our Lord. Our Lord. Those words indicate that in the end, we not only possess the gift of eternal life, we possess Jesus himself. And guess what? He possesses us too. My sheep know my voice, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Once you have Jesus, you have him forever and ever and ever. He possesses us, and we belong to each other as one family. And Romans chapter 8 tells us that there's nothing in heaven, nothing on earth that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. When you have Jesus, no one can take that from you. Your boss can't take that from you. The neighbor you can't stand can't take that from you. I'm sure you all love your neighbors, okay. But if you had one that was a crummy neighbor, that can't, they can't take Jesus away from you. Okay? Nothing in heaven and earth can take you away from the love of Christ. Nothing can take the love of God that is in Christ Jesus from you. That's what he's offering us. That's what he does. That's why he wants us to gather together. That's why he's worthy of our worship and praise. And for those of us who've been followers of Christ and have wandered away, look who we've wandered away from. Is it any wonder that our trajectory didn't turn out where we thought it was going to go? What do we wander away from? On the other hand, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you just thought it was something that's fun that happens on Christmas and Easter, and you watch the TV specials and that's about all that you do, look what you're missing out on. You're missing out on the gift. Just like Rick, right? Rick, remember, he didn't get the gift until he received it. Wow. Jesus is always giving us an invitation. In Revelation 3, you all know the passage. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Hello, anybody home? And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is not going to force his way onto you. I don't like the phrase. They say Jesus is a gentleman. Well, okay, fine. But he's not going to just barge in and say, here, I'm saving you right now. No, you have to receive him and accept him. Even if you've gone to church for years, but if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, where is he? He's still standing, knocking on the door of your life, waiting for you to open and let him in. So when are we going to invite him to come in so we can be with him and have his presence? If that describes you today, if you're here, if that describes you today who are looking on our webcast today, or if you just simply feel the need to have Jesus as your Savior, recognizing, you know, I've done all these bad things in my life, and I love this phrase from Minnesota Teen Challenge, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? How tragic that it's so true for so many people. But if that describes you today, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you want to just, let's just fix this right now. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to settle the issue. And this goes for anybody here, whether you're here or there. Even if you're watching a recording of this, if it gets posted later on, as you're watching, it's the here and the now. And if it's just a little inkling that you're sensing about this, you know, a little discomfort, like, you know, I know that things are goofed up in my life. I don't know how to fix it. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Question is, are you going to listen? So you're not going to be asked to do anything stranger. I can't have a message like this, talking about God's inviting us to come into our presence. Jesus wants to be your Savior and your Lord. He wants to be present with you. He wants to give you eternal life for all of eternity. Here, I can't just give a message like that, explain what the gospel message is. The gospel message is very simple. We messed up, but God allows us a way to get right with him again, receiving Jesus as our Savior. I cannot just talk about it and not give you an opportunity to settle that issue today. I'm not going to ask you to do anything strange or unusual. We're not going to go through any kind of rituals or anything like that. All you need to do is pray. You can pray here. You can pray online. You can pray in your home. You could pray later on today. You know, but take advantage of the opportunity, because God is offering you something that you don't have to pay for. It's already been paid, and it's been paid in full. Now, maybe we haven't wandered far away. You know, we kind of all take our chances once in a while to, well, I'm going to take a little vacation away from doing good things and have a little fun over here. Oh, that didn't work out very well. Let's run back to God. It was better over here. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity also to kind of recommit your life to the Lord also, because there's nothing wrong with being able to come to the Lord and say, you know, I wandered away. I want to get right with you again. First John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Cleanse us from most of all. He cleanses us from all. Just making sure you're still with me here. Okay. Cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. So I want to take a minute here to give you an opportunity here. Let's get back on track. Let's get back as a celebration of Labor Day, because when we are made right with God, we enter into his rest. And that's part of the blessing. So I'm going to pray words to that effect with all of us here. You can pray them silently if you'd like, where you are seated here or where you are in the internet world. Or if you want to repeat, if you hear people praying them out loud here, and you're welcome to do that if you want to, then feel free to join in also. And as I said, I'm going to offer an opportunity for people to hear it. Either if you just wandered away, or if you just simply want to recommit your life to Christ, that's okay to do that. Lord, I want to reaffirm my commitment to you, with you as my Savior and Lord. That's okay. We can do it. We're just going to just get it all right here now and have a great Labor Day weekend. So if that's your desire, then let's just take a minute now and we'll bow our heads as we go before the Lord, and let's prepare to pray together. Father in heaven, your word says that you know your sheep and that your sheep know your voice. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as people could be listening to you today, whether they're here in this building with us or if they're watching the cast, that they're hearing your voice calling to them, hearing you as you're inviting them to come to you, maybe coming back to you, to worship you, and to persevere in their relationship with you. So I lift up all these people. Heavenly Father, you know who they are. I don't. But God, in these moments, I pray that you'll move in ways that only you can, as you draw people to yourself, both those who hear, as those as well who are watching this service online. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we will all hear your voice calling out to us this morning at this time. So if today, if you are someone who wishes to ask Jesus for the first time to be your Savior, then please pray the following prayer. I'll pray them out loud. You can pray them silently, or you can come along if you'd like. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want the gift of forgiveness that you offer, and also the gift of eternal life, which you want to give to me. Jesus, I want that gift. And I know that I've sinned and that you've paid the price for my sin. So today I ask you to come into my life and to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I receive your gift of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life with you. Come into my life and help me come to know you more and more every day. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift you give me right now. And Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for these people who have prayed to ask Jesus into their lives to be their Savior. I pray that you will be so real to them that they'll be filled with your peace and love as well as with your Holy Spirit. And now for those of us who wish to either renew our relationship with you, Jesus, or if we've wandered away from you or not, if we want to reconfirm or recommit, for all of us there who kind of fit into that camp, then please pray with me this prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that you invite me to come to you, to worship you, and to persevere in my relationship with you. And Father, I haven't always done the best job at persevering, but I come to you today knowing that all things are possible for you. So Lord Jesus, today I recommit my relationship with you through your Holy Spirit. Help me to persevere and to serve as your hands and feet to a dark and lost world, that more and more people will come to know you as they see you alive and working in me. And for that blessing, I give to you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please all stand for a blessing this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand for what he does in our life. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all as together we come to the Lord together and we worship him and we persevere in our walk with him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said together, amen, amen. We'll have a wonderful remainder of the Labor Day weekend. And for those of you that like to have some prayer time, we'll be up front here for some time. Feel free to come on up. Otherwise, have a great rest of the Lord's day today.